morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Wednesday, April 1st. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. A Natrona County District Court judge has denied a motion to add Wyoming's new partial abortion ban to an ongoing lawsuit. That's according to Chelsea's Fund, a group that supports abortion access. Chelsea's Fund and other pro-choice advocates are trying to get the Human Heartbeat Act blocked. The law went into effect in early March and bans abortion at around 6 weeks. The group wanted to add the law to another case involving 2025 abortion regulations. The state argued they should be two separate lawsuits since there's little carryover between the cases. The abortion rights supporters will now file a separate lawsuit in Natrona County, and they'll ask the judge to temporarily block the new law while litigation continues. John B. Romero Martinez has announced a run for Wyoming's lone U.S. House seat. He's joining a crowded Republican race. Romero Martinez represented Cheyenne in the Wyoming House from 2021 to 2023. During his time as a representative, he served on the Labor and Transportation Committees. According to his LinkedIn page, he served 5 years in the United States Air Force National Guard and works as a communication and cybersecurity specialist. He lists his top issues as putting America first, addressing gaps in the labor code, and ending abortion. He also supports education freedom and says the Religious Freedom Restoration Act should become law. Romero Martinez joins a crowded field in his bid to take Representative Harriet Hageman's seat. Hageman is vying to replace Senator Cynthia Lummis in the upper chamber. Lummis announced in late December she would not seek a second term. Wyoming's primary election is on August 18th. Wyoming lawmakers say they have a plan to make 5 years of grants in a new $50 billion federal rural health program last forever. But the state plan still hasn't been approved by the federal government. Public News Service's Eric Galatis reports.
Wyoming's Rural Health Transformation Perpetuity Fund could provide the state over $28 million each year, according to materials presented to lawmakers. Patrick Hardigan, dean of the College of Health Sciences at the University of Wyoming, says if approved, the fund would ensure that projects will continue to help rural patients even after the federal program ends.
Well, the real challenge is to turn the short-term federal investment into long-term rural health stability. This is really a once-in-a-generation opportunity to try to strengthen our rural health care systems.
But it's unclear whether the perpetuity fund will pass muster with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which requires states to spend each year's grants by the end of the following fiscal year. All of the federal grants, totaling $50 billion, must be spent by 2032. Congressional Republicans created the Rural Health Transformation Program to help offset nearly $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. This story was produced with original reporting from Ariel Zoints for KFF Health News. I'm Eric Galatis.
New funding from the nonprofit group Resources for the Future is aimed at helping fossil fuel-dependent communities in our region adapt to other forms of energy. One of the efforts will focus on the Four Corners region, including the Navajo Nation and Hopi Tribe. The $70,000 project focuses on an area long shaped by coal production and power plants, and lately, rising energy costs. Daniel Ramey helps lead the initiative. He says the focus isn't simply on replacing fossil fuel jobs.
It doesn't have to be solar or wind or geothermal or nuclear or anything else. There might be a great opportunity in aerospace, or there might be a great opportunity in some kind of medical sciences, or there might be a great opportunity in tourism.
He says it's about helping tribal communities build new economic paths on their own terms. Snowpack is often described as our region's largest natural reservoir. New research suggests the way forests are managed could affect how much of that snow actually becomes useful water. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
In dense forests, not all of the snowfall reaches the forest floor. Emily Howe is an aquatic ecologist with the Nature Conservancy and a co-author of the report.
When snow is falling, trees can act as an umbrella and they can prevent the snow from actually reaching the ground. So it never becomes part of the water supply.
That matters in the Mountain West, where snowpack feeds rivers and reservoirs each spring, supporting farms, cities, and habitats downstream. Researchers in Washington State found thinning dense forests, a common strategy used to reduce wildfire risk, can allow more snow to reach the ground, keeping it in the mountains longer. Howe says in the West, managing forests carefully can protect the snowpack and the water many communities rely on, while also lowering wildfire danger. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. The famous Grizzly 399 will be getting a long-term monument. Buckrell reports Static Peak will be renamed for the Queen of the Tetons after she was killed in a vehicle collision 2 years ago. It will now be called Peak 399. The park is also renaming a small glacier on the mountain's north face, Quad Glacier, in honor of 399's quadruplet cubs in 2020. Jackson's Mondays are about to get a little brighter. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports Mayor Ern Jorgens has declared every Monday as Salmon Shirt Day. He says it's his favorite shirt color and it will lift everybody's mood. Jackson students will also wear their salmon shirts, eat salmon in the cafeteria for lunch, and learn about the wonders of omega-3s. A local fisherman pulled up more than he bargained for at Flaming Gorge Reservoir. Sweetwater Now reports Frank Abril Tonto was fishing for lake trout when he caught a fighter. He was certain he was about to break the record, but instead caught the first ever shark in the reservoir. Regional fish biologists are investigating how it ended up there. Wyoming Game and Fish is considering releasing more sharks to help control the burbot population. And if any of these stories had you scratching your head, check the calendar. Happy April Fools. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. How much did the recent renovation of the Wyoming Capitol building cost? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, we all know that Wyoming has 23 counties. How many counties were there when Wyoming was established as a territory? When Wyoming became a territory, there were just 5 counties in the state: Laramie, Carbon, Albany, Uinta, and one known as Carter County, which included a large part of present-day Sweetwater County. Congratulations to Cammie Buckholz, who was the first person with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief. Have a great April Fool's Day. Keep it a little weird, and join me again tomorrow. Thank you.